turn to page 308, you get the first and the last verse there, 308, get our ushers to come. Really good, maybe you guys close up off this.
Lord, this time here to tell you, all the Lord, we thank you this day, and we'll pronounce the word come again to our household, and pray and ask for heavy hand upon the service, on the people of the state, take part, pray and ask for the heavy hand upon the service, bless the peace of the Lord, and if you see fit, pray and ask for the bless of the beginning, let us have not to give, leading down the record, or bless us in every way, everything said, let us give you our honor, praise and glory, name sake, we will be praised, amen.
Amen. Appreciate it. Harry!
You need some... Do you need some help?
Let's see.
Matthew.
Oh, yeah, Matthew. I remember there was a few. Who else was it?
And I'm not a number of years old. It's supposed to be a penny for every year. But we always have it all.
Oh, Camden. Oh, Camden. I thought it was Camden. Okay. No. Okay. So, let's see, Matt's birthday to these.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, okay. Let's see, he's not color too. Well, tell him we said happy birthday. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to Daisy.
Happy birthday to you. Just one little nod to make Jesus your Savior. And then you'll have to.
Most of the time I don't notice a whole lot, but this morning I remembered specifically looking back and seeing Camden and his walls like his belt was like that. Okay, I'm crazy, but I don't think I'm that specific crazy. You know what I mean? But anyway, I appreciate the Lord giving birthdays to those ones that have birthdays and giving us another year with them. But we need to come pray this morning. I just got a request of prayer with them. Amen. Oh, before I forget, we got foundations this evening, so remember that, 5 o'clock. And the camp meeting rally is the last Wednesday of this month. Is that next Wednesday?
Yeah.
No, it's last Wednesday of May.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday of May. Yeah. I forgot something yet.
Yeah. What is that, 27?
29? Yeah. And it's at Mount Calvary.
Yeah.
And it's Curtis Parker?
No, Curtis Ponder.
Curtis Ponder. Okay. Okay, so if you remember this, always have a good time at Camp Meeting Rally. Remember Camp Meeting coming up? And now, are they going to do the Monday night prayer every Monday until the Camp Meeting?
Yeah, I need to find out. They do go to Baker's Chapel.
Okay.
But they might move it, from one church to another. I thought they were going to go here sometimes, but I won't do it. I need to find out how to talk for the Monday night. I missed last one to help.
Yeah.
So I have to, usually when they leave, they'll decide where some of the events are. I was happy to check to find out for sure where it's going to be. But so this one they've been doing at 7 o'clock Mondays at Hayes Chapel. But anybody's welcome to come. We would love for you to come. Anybody, everybody can come meet to pray about camping. That's where revival is birthed out of this prayer.
Yeah, amen.
And so it ain't going to hurt a thing. You can get over there. What we need. We need revival and have them. Whatever means God's will and sin. But in which way, it'll help. It'd be a great deal to get us as individuals, as churches, as communities to pray.
And so do remember the camp meeting coming up. And of course, it gets over into June. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We've got camp meeting, we've got camp, we've got Bible school. We've got, let's see. And then homecoming is the last Sunday of May. Yeah.
Are we keeping the list up tonight? No, we don't have a list.
Tell you how many times that we've had our anniversary up seeing her mom, and I remembered about it before she did. like sitting in a retirement home playing cards with old people or something. And it's like, what lie? It'd be like 10 o'clock. I'm like, happy anniversary. But anyway, so remember this stuff. We do have much to pray about this morning. I always continue to remember Preacher Billy this video. And I'm going to help deal with their health problems. I had a very good service Wednesday night. Appreciate getting to hear Preacher Billy preach again. It's been a little while. It was a blessing. Remember Miss Vivian, I know you're going to get the stimulators, is what they're called, right? Taken off and Wednesday. Are both of them at the same time? Okay, so remember this. And I know it's been your feet. It's been bothering you recently. So remember her on that. And we'll give her beliefs from some of that. She's got going on with her feet there. And Miss Terry's had several requests. I know Miss Lori's got to have MRI. MRI, I think she's got a bad nerve. But. Okay. Amen. Amen. I remember this. I've known several people that have struggled with that. You know, different people in the life, especially when you go through a season where you got migraines all the time. My best friend's mom in high school. Half the time I'd be at his house and his mom would be like in the bed because she was had to be on medicine strong enough that she couldn't get up walk around. I think she's pretty well past her. So. But you know, I've seen a lot of people suffer with stuff like that. So remember that. Remember our friend Paula Calloway. She just took her last chemo treatment, didn't she? She has one more. So she's finishing up her chemo. She's got breast cancer. And they were planning on doing some traveling this weekend. They were hoping to stop by and see us. They were going down east. But they weren't able to do it because she was feeling sick from the chemo. So Lord willing, they're going to try again next weekend. But just pray for her and Lord help her. We're glad to have the McAfee's back. They've had to been up due to the rolling illness. You know, so just pray that God will keep that cleared up for them. I think all of us in our families have had the past 7 months some time where, you know, it's just one right after the other, and then when you get that cleared up, you start over again. But I do want to say I thank the Lord for helping me with my allergies this season. I know I sound a little bit bad, but really it's not near as bad as it is a lot of years. Most years I totally lose my voice, and so far this year that has not happened. So I'm very thankful to God that He has made that easier this year, at least for me has. And I can tell you, ain't nothing I've done about it. Same old. Pink pill, I think, every morning. You know, so if it's different, the Lord has made it different. You know, so I'm thankful for it. Who else has got a request this morning?
Our brother.
Yeah.
And, he's probably going to have back surgery in his son. Pray for him to take care of that. And that. I got other requests too. We'll miss what they are. It's just a lot of different things.
That reminded me too, Jan, Christina's stepmom's going to have to have surgery, so I have to early repair this, 2 weeks? Okay, in May. Okay. So remember that if you would.
How's your mother?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking, Mama. Last couple of times I talked to Dad, he said she's felt some better. They still, you know, she did good on that that last stress test. I still don't think they've scheduled the upper GI, so I think it's still just at this moment kind of continuing as it was before. Got her on the iron pills for the anemia, and then I don't know. I don't think she's still on the potassium, but they think the main thing is that anemia, and they just got to figure out what's causing that. But, you know. I don't know, and I'm not saying I got any kind of special revelation or anything like that, but I've just about got the suspicion that the Lord's just going to let that get healed up, because they know she had ulcers in her stomach, and that could be where the blood is going. So, and it kind of seems like that might be healing, so I'd be real good at the Lord to just let that heal up, you know. Been praying every week that she'd get to go to church with Daddy. She hadn't got to go in 7 weeks. She went to the grocery store the other day, and that wore out. But, so I don't know. I guess we'll find out if she got together today, but we've been praying for that. So you always continue praying for Mama.
Amen.
All right, that's all there is. That's all there is.
We might be known to your children, the Lord, through love, Christ, and through us, our time, we have received recognition within you, Lord. And we thank you for it, we love you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. If you haven't planned on being here tonight, you should plan on being here tonight for the foundations meeting.
Yeah.
We're going to try to figure out some way to eat something. So, I don't know if you wasn't planning on being here before. If you'll come, most likely you'll get to eat something. And I know you're a Baptist, so I know that's appealing to you. But in any case, you had to be at 5 o'clock. If you haven't got the question yet, if you're like I would be, and you're a procrastinator, and you've intended well to have an answer ready before this afternoon, but you don't, and you can't remember the question, I'm going to go ahead and say it one more time. You can write it down, you can go home, you can spend the rest of the afternoon, or at least an hour this afternoon, coming up with something. And even if you don't want to give you an answer, you'll have an understanding of what we're going with this. Maybe you don't want to, maybe you've been too busy, and you've had other things going on, and you've been let hitherto, and you've not been able to study on it, and you'd just like to come listen.
Yeah.
Whenever we get to you, all you got to do is just say pass. As people comes and does that every service, you won't be the only one.
Yeah.
And so if you just want to come and listen in, be welcome to do that. But the question is this. God is sovereign. He's completely capable. He's all-powerful, right? This is the question. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross for our sins?
Yeah.
And I mean that in the sense of God's all-powerful. How could why did he not choose another means? Why could he have not just dismissed our sins and no blood had to be shed? Why was it that Jesus specifically, his son, had to die? That's the question, is why did Jesus have to die on the cross for our sins? And come back to this 9:05, and we'll go over that, and it'll be good. Also, remember the sign-up sheet for camp is back there. You young people, sign up. And moms and dads, if you're able to go with us, sign up. It'll be fun. Did you put the dates on there, honey? What is those dates one more time? June 24th and 28th. We'll be gone Monday through Friday. We'll leave Monday morning. We'll come back Friday morning, or Friday after lunch, usually. But in any case, yeah, if you haven't signed up, sign up. They're going to want to have a pretty good idea by usually about the end of May of how many people is going to be going with each church group. And if, you know, if y'all know me, then up until the day we're about to leave, I will squeeze you in there somehow if you want to go. But it makes it much more easier for the accommodations if we have a good number. Last time they put 10 of us in a 7-bed room. And so luckily we was able to put Sawyer in the floor. And it is, by the way, boys with boys and girls with girls. There is no, it don't matter if you're married, nothing else. There's just no boys and girls together in rooms. That ain't the way it works. And that's a good thing when you go into camp. That way you know moms and dads, you can send your kids off, you can trust that, you know, there's not going to be no kind of foolishness going on. You know, they're not going to be alone unless they're coming down the river together. You can ask Sarah about that. That's no time to be fooling around. It's a time to be very serious, because the river will take your float and you'll lose it, and then you'll be walking down the river. So, in any case, but you know, it's a good time for them to go, and you don't have to worry about anything like that going on. But they put boys and girls last year. They put 10 of us and a seven-bedroom wood soldered floor, and we put the Matthews, with Mel Calvin. I said, here, I said, I'm gonna put these with y'all. That's like, who is this kid? I'm like, look at Ellis. Because they don't care, they're, you know, they're like, all right, Ellis go with Floyd. We'll stick it with somebody anyway. But in any case. But yeah, sign up for that. It's the sign up sheet back here in the back. Is there anything else I'm forgetting to say? I don't think so. Matthew already said everything else. Well, they'll be having that. If you're back tonight, I will find out this afternoon. Honey, you will remind me, okay? To message Tony, reach Tony, and find out if for sure where we're having the prayer meeting tomorrow night. But I know it'll be tomorrow night at 7. And if you're coming back tonight, I'll let you know where it's going to be for sure. And if you want to come out and join us for the prayer meeting. All right. I think that's it. Does anybody have a special song they want to sing this morning before we get started? Amen. Come on, Saul.
Found a resting place, not in divine. All right, if you have your Bible, we'll turn to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24.
But we're not going to get into all that this morning. We went over that before. We'll go over it again soon enough.
But this morning, we just want to establish the fact that he is not talking about the tribulation period. He is talking about the time leading up to the tribulation period. But before that tribulation period time comes, the Lord will step out on the cloud, the trumpet will sound, yeah. And the saints of God, those who have been born again, will rise from the earth. It says those that are dead will rise first. It says those of us that are alive will meet them in the air. And we shall go to be with the Lord. But and there will be some here that are left. And that will be the start of the tribulation. Is with the rapture of the church is what we call the rapture whenever he calls us to himself. But whenever we're looking at this, he's not talking about the tribulation period. He's talking about a time whenever that the world is just getting worse and worse. Let me put it to you this way. America or any nation is not just going to automatically become... We didn't get to where we're at right now overnight, right?
Right, amen.
We can say, well, it started whenever they took God out of schools. It started whenever they made it where you could have no-fault divorce. Or it started whenever they said that you could murder babies in the womb. Or we could say all kinds of things. But really and truthfully, it just started when people quit depending on God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And whenever people quit depending on God, when people quit standing for God, when people quit standing against sin, and when people quit standing for the gospel, there began to be a diminishing of morality and a diminishing of the gravity of the Word of God in our nation.
Yeah.
And over time, it's brought us to the point to where we're at now. It's brought us to the point to where the sin is celebrated. It's brought us to the point to where the fornication is glorified in every aspect of life. Even many Christians, young men and women, they glorify fornication. Yeah. They glorify pornography. Yeah. You say, well, that's not the case. Well, why are Christian young ladies dressing the way that they do? Right. Why do you see Christian young ladies wearing bikinis and all these different kinds of clothing they shouldn't be wearing? Hey, listen, when the Bible says be modest, that is for your benefit, honey.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for you young men. Yeah. And if you respect a woman, you are to encourage her to be modest. Amen? Yeah. You are to covet the fact that if you've got a wife, or if you've got a daughter, or if you've got a girlfriend, even you young men, you are to covet the fact that's her body, that if it's your wife, or if that's your daughter, especially if it's your wife, then you are to covet the fact that that's what God has given to you. That's for your eyes.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. It's not for the rest of the world. And so why do we see this, and we see other different kinds of things going on, even in Christians and in Christian homes and in many people that belong to Christ and they claim the name of Christ, and it's because we have a decline of morality, because we have a decline of the gravity, meaning the importance that is placed on the Word of God in today's time.
Yeah.
And we see this, and we see a de-escalation of morality. And we see an escalation of sinfulness.
Yeah.
We see an escalation of iniquity.
Yeah.
Is what the Bible says and talks about here. Now, during this time, he says that in verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We've already had much of that. We've already seen where they'll say, here he is, and there he is, and he says, go and follow him not.
Yeah.
You consider the Jehovah's Witnesses, you consider the Mormons, you consider a lot of these, they're cults is what they are.
Yeah.
I would even go as far as to say that the Seventh-day Adventists are cults. You say, well, why is that? And I was talking about that some in the Sunday school room this morning. It's because that they believe in faith plus works. Plain and simple. Yeah. Bible says the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you have true faith in God, you will have works that will produce works.
Yeah.
You will act upon that faith. That's what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
However, your works do not produce faith, neither do they add to your faith.
Right.
Faith alone, in Christ alone, is what justifies a man. That's what the Bible teaches. But, nevertheless, we've got a society, and they tell us why I say Catholics, they're not Christians, it's a cult. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's paganism.
Yeah.
They're not worshiping the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
They're worshiping the God of the Bible, and they would believe in justification by faith in the blood of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Not with anything else to add to it. They believe in these different kinds of works and sacraments you have to do, and that's not Christian.
Amen.
That's not Bible. And so whenever he says that many shall come and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, We see that, says you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. I need not even say anything about that, but for the sake of time, you see that on the news every single day.
Yes.
See that ye be not troubled. Amen?
Yeah.
Pay attention to that.
Yeah.
See that ye be not troubled. It is the command of Jesus Christ that the times that you and I live in, the troubles that we face and all the wickedness we see around us, he says, see to it that you're not troubled by it.
Amen.
You know, my Bible says he's not giving us the spirit of fear,
right,
but of power and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
Amen? Why is that? Because we can trust him. Because we know that all things work together for the good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. We know that God is sovereign. God's on the throne. He's not surprised by the things that goes on. When you turn the news on and you see all the wickedness that goes on in the world, you hear about all the rumors of wars and talking about other countries trying to invade America and everything else, you hear about the 15,000 and 20,000 people a day that's coming across the border from China. They're coming across the Mexico border, but there are a lot of them's coming from China, a lot of them's coming from Middle Eastern countries,
yeah.
A lot of them's coming from South Africa, North Africa, and different places, and from all over the world. And it's like we're being invaded. And you know, people worry. And I hear it all the time when people's worried about it. And sometimes it does. It worries me. I'm only human. But nevertheless, the Bible says that we ought not be troubled by this. Be reminded that God is sovereign. That God's in control. God knows what he's doing. The Bible says this. It says, for all these things, verse 6, must come to pass. But the end is not yet.
Yeah.
For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We can see the spirit of that hatred towards God's people right now.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't have any, they don't have, them cats ain't got no claws, so to speak, just yet. But they are growing them as we speak.
Amen.
And they are sharpening them as we speak.
Yeah.
And all they need to do is just put a few laws in place and change a few things around. And that, I promise you that the spirit of the Antichrist that worketh in the governments and the people around where you and I are at and the time which we live in would love nothing more than to persecute us.
Yeah, right.
For believing what we believe.
Amen.
They would love nothing more than to do whatever it takes to get you to shut up.
Yeah.
And they've already done that for the most part because, well, you know, we most of us got, you know, Facebook, we've got Twitter, Instagram, and we'd rather talk about, you know, what kind of fish we're catching or what kind of restaurant we're eating at or anything else than we would talk about Christ.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to get a bunch of opposition. You put something on there about your spouse's birthday and everybody in the brother's going to be all cheering for you and everything else. Or if your youngin wins a ball game, then everybody's going to be thinking about that. And share something about Christ. Nobody pays much attention to that. If anything, you're just going to get some opposition. So for the most part, that spirit of Antichrist already works. If, let me tell you this, don't sit there and tell me, preacher, if they persecute me, I'll not bow knee to Baal. I'll not bow knee to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Hey, don't tell me that. Whenever you've already bowed knee to Facebook and Twitter and everything else, because you're not willing to share something about Christ, but you'll get on there and share about everything else.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm saying that that's where we're at today, church.
Yeah.
I'm saying that that's the times in which we find ourselves living in, is we're living in these last days. And we're living in this time that's leading up to this tribulation period, this time when the rapture comes. We can see it. It's evident. He said, you'll not know the day of the hour. He said, but you'll know the signs of the season.
Yeah.
Amen. And we can see that, and we can see that it's evident. And he says, they'll deliver you up to be afflicted, and they'll kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That means that church people turn against church people.
Yes. Amen.
You want me to tell you how you really make somebody, another church member, or you know, a brother or sister in Christ, you know, you make them mad? Just live holy for the Lord. If they're not, it'll make them mad. It will. I've seen it happen. I've had brothers and sisters that get mad at me because I want to live a life that glorifies God.
Yeah.
I don't want to glorify myself. I sit there and I tell youngs all the time how wicked I am. I confess to y'all like a woman. I confess to my congregation like most Catholic congregations confess to their priests. So it ain't no, you know, mystery. I'm not perfect. But at the same time, what I do right me. I don't do it so you think I believe me.
Yeah.
I want to live a life that glorifies God, that I have a testimony that whenever I look toward God and I preach it, that people will listen.
Yes.
They'll say, well, he's not a hypocrite because I can see that he tries. I can see that he wants to live that. That's my desire.
Yeah.
That ought to be the desire for every person. But if you live a life that's holy, you'll see that people will turn against you. People don't like that. They don't. I believe the Bible says this. The Bible says that the young ladies, it says the women to be keepers at home.
Yeah.
And it was my desire, my biblical desire, for my wife to stay home.
Yeah.
And take care of the house. And I pray that God will make that possible.
Yes.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
And it's not easy. It's not always easy, but right. It is a struggle. But I thank God for that opportunity.
Amen.
And I've been criticized for that. And you will be. I'm just saying for things like that.
Yeah.
And in general, whatever it might be, that if you want to follow the Word of God according to how that, you know, God has presented it to you and give you revelation, then I promise you, you will find opposition, not just in the world, but within the church. You'll find opposition. So whenever he says here, he says that they many should be offended and betray one another, hate one another in these last days. That's what we're going to be seeing. We're going to see a lot of that come into fruition. That there'll be churches that are putting up other members of their churches and brothers and sisters, so-called in Christ, to be persecuted. It says this, it says in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. We see that, don't we?
Yeah. Hey.
You turn on TVN.
Yeah.
You got Joel Osteen and Stephen Furtick. A bunch of these heretics.
Yeah.
That are giving a false gospel. They'll give you a little bit of truth. Well, actually, you know what? They'll give you a whole lot of truth, but they'll slip just enough deception in there.
Yeah.
These are emissaries of the devil.
Yes.
Make no mistake about it. These men are not just neutral in the situation.
Right.
They're purposefully sowing lies and deception. Why? Joyce Myers? Amen?
Yeah.
I know of a good friend of mine who is a pastor of a Baptist church, and he's got some people in his church that love Joyce Myers. And I said, some preach that out of
it. Yes.
And he's like, well, you know, they're just going to get mad and leave. I said, well, praise God. I said, get them out. I said, they ain't going to do nothing. That's like a disease.
Yeah.
They're going to come in there and they're going to spread it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm being dead serious. I said, let God convict them and get rid of that. Give them the truth. I said, study up on it. Go and find some. You know, spend some time watching Joyce Meyer, and it won't take you long. You'll see the deception. You'll see the lies because you know the Word of God. That's what I'm going to bring. I said, you'll see where she's messed up. Then go and put that out and show them.
Yeah.
They need to be shown. Amen. In any case, then we come to this verse right here. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's what I want to preach on this morning. First of all, I'm going to talk about this abundance of iniquity. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He says, talking about the rapture. He says that he be not soon shaken in mind again, or reminded to be of a sound mind, or again reminded not to be troubled, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God.
Yes.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yes.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. He's talking about this spirit of Antichrist, this Antichrist that is coming, this Antichrist that will follow the rapture, that will come to be the world power, the head of all power in the world during that tribulation period. And he's talking about how that many will be deceived, and that many will come under deception, and because they believe not the truth and turned away from the truth, God says that many, he will send a strong delusion on them, that they might be damned who believe not the truth. He says, verse 3, though, particularly here of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. A falling away. We see, like I said, the decline of morality, and we see the ascension of sinfulness. We see the ascension of iniquity. That's what the Bible says here in Luke chapter number, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 24 in verse number 12. It says, because iniquity shall abound.
Yeah.
We see the abundance of iniquity. That word to abound means to progress. It means to overcome. It means to overpower. It means to take over. That's what we see. Iniquity, when we're talking about iniquity, is not just a transgression. Mind you, a transgression of the law or a trespass into the law is one to where which the one who does that may not necessarily understand that they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You can still sin against God and not know it.
Yeah.
God does not overlook the fact that you didn't know any better. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Eve, that Adam was not in the transgression, but Eve was in the transgression, meaning that she was truly deceived by the serpent. Whenever that she took the fruit. But then regardless of that, the Bible says that death reigns wherever there's sin.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether that you have knowledge of it or not. That's why he gave us the law, so that we would have the knowledge of sin.
Amen.
Because the Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And we must have repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But whenever we see here talking about transgression, and we talk about trespasses, sometimes that can mean that you willfully sinned, you knew to do right, and you did wrong. But whenever it's talking about iniquity, when the Bible talks about iniquity, it's talking about having a willfulness in your heart to sin, to do wrong. You know what's right, and yet you want to do wrong anyway. And the Bible says here that iniquity shall abound. That means the desire to do wrong, to say, well, you know what? That's basically just saying I'm rebelling against God. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says. That's just, and you'll give every excuse in the world. The Sunday school teacher just wanted to make this point, or the preacher just wanted to try to say this and that and other. And you'll have every excuse in the world. But truthfully, it's the Spirit of God speaking in your heart.
Yeah.
And because the Bible says iniquity abounds in these last days, the Bible says that the love of many shall wax cold. Now we're getting there. Just hold on a second. Again, I bring to you, the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Whenever you brand a horse or a cow, it'll flinch. Honey, you did a senior project on that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Branding horses. Whenever y'all done that, you branding horses, did they kick? Did they run away? What did they do? They just flinched a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know why that is? Can you imagine somebody sticking a piece of metal in the fire till it turns red and slapping it on your skin? That would make me, I would imagine that would make me want to run as far as I could. But what happens, truthfully, scientifically, is that it's so hot. As a matter of fact, she didn't use heat. She used, what do you call that, liquid nitrogen. And it froze it. But it's the same thing. The same principle applies. It burned into it. But the same thing with hot iron. Whenever it sears it, it's so hot that in an instant, it literally kills the nerve endings. And so it's only a split second that you feel that pain. And then the nerve endings are killed so that they no longer have any feeling whatsoever. How many of you's got a deep scar? Anybody here got a deep scar? Don't grow no hair on it no more? You can rub it, you can't even feel it. It's numb, right? It's because the nerve endings never leave. they were supposed to.
Yeah.
That's what happens. In the same way when it's talking about this in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, it's talking about, it says that the Spirit speaks expressly that last times that they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And it says they speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It means that the nerves are going, that means that they no longer feel conviction over it. It means that they no longer fear God about doing the things that they're doing. But they do it out in the open. They do it without reservation. They do it without hesitation. Why? It's because that they've done it to the point to where that they no longer feel any conviction over it whatsoever. That's the days that we're living in.
Yeah.
When people can stand up and hold up signs that say, if Jesus comes back, let's crucify him again. When people can stand up and say all kinds of wicked things the way that they do, and they can mock God, and they don't have any kind of reservation about it. Hey, I want to tell you, we're living in these days. The Bible says again in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it says this so also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yeah. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I've mentioned this before. Talk about the last days. He's naming some of these things, and the first thing he says is men will be lovers of their own selves. Never before in history has there ever been a time such as now, with the revelation of a new type of photograph called a selfie.
Yeah.
People used to want to, when photos were invented, let's capture a picture of our loved ones. Let's capture a picture of our home place, you know.
Yeah.
Let's capture a picture of the church group.
Yeah.
Now it's, most pictures on most people's phones are of themselves. Right?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. You have somebody's Facebook. What is it? I mean, literally, the literal name of the website is Facebook. It's a book of their face.
that's
what you see, right? Because everybody is so self-involved.
Yeah.
Men should be lovers of their own selves.
Yeah.
Right? And it goes on, it says, this is also last day's perilous time. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection. Talking about homosexuality. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They love their fornication. They love their homosexuality. They love, when I say fornication, I mean, you look at what they're doing to these babies and murdering these babies and the abortion rates and everything else. That they love their pleasure more than they love God. That's why that they're out on Friday and Saturday night at the bars. That's why that the addicts are taking the drugs and they're getting high. And then they have to have those things. They love those things more than they love God. But how about you, Christian brother or sister? What is it that's keeping you out of church on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night? What is it that's keeping you out of your Bible reading the Word of God? What is it that's hindering you from getting down on your hands and knees and praying to God and pouring your heart out to God in fellowship with God? Hey, I want to say this. Before we're too quick to judge, let us be reminded that we too are living in these last days.
Yeah.
And we too are being influenced by these ungodly attitudes that are going on and the spirit of the Antichrist that's moving through the world that we live in. Hey, we need to realize the influence that's taken over us.
Yes.
He says this, that these folks, and I'm finishing here right here with Timothy, he says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. He says, don't have fellowship with them. Don't engage with them. Talk about those who have a form of godliness, but deny what power they deny. They're denying the transforming power of Christ.
Yeah.
Whenever I was born again, things changed.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't change.
Amen.
He changed me.
Right.
Things changed when I got born again.
Amen.
When God saved me, He said, "Son, you don't belong to the world no more.
Amen.
You're mine."
Yeah.
Hey, anybody says that God don't force Himself on you a little bit, they've never had the experience like I have.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, He come into my life and He's pushed me and directed me.
Yeah.
And I fought Him. You say, you can get away. Hey, I fought Him. I've tried to fight Him on preaching. I didn't want to do that.
I have plans of my own. Do you see how that worked out? Amen. Whenever it comes time to, I was going to get married, and then everything is every step of the way in my life, I fought him on everything. Okay, and he still somehow, but he gets his way. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He gets his way. Matter of fact, honey, I believe it was in 2020. I said several times I'd never pastor again, didn't I? That was a few years ago. I was adamant. I meant it. I mean, I put my foot down and I said, I'll go to church, I'll be there every service, I'll study, I'll go to preach anywhere you want me to preach, but I ain't pastor no more. That's too much, I ain't going to do it, it ain't for me, I ain't doing it. And you see where I'm at today.
Amen.
Amen. He gets his way. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So in any case, what was that?
It's his way or no way.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Yeah. It's his way or no way.
Yeah.
But he says, those that have a form of godliness to deny the power thereof, of such turn away. That means that you see no fruit in their life. The Bible says you should know them by the fruits. A good tree bears good fruit, yeah. And a corrupt tree bears evil fruit. It says, yeah. Therefore, you shall know them by their fruits. So you pay attention to their fruits.
Yes.
Amen. He says, of those that don't have that, turn away. But we see in the times and the days in which we live in, iniquity abounds.
Amen.
We see that not just in the world, but we see it in the church, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's evident that we ain't the same Christians grandma and grandpa was. Mm. Amen. I mean, that's the day and time that we're living in. And it's because that look at how wicked the world is around us, and rather than stand in opposition to all that, we've kind of went with the flow.
Yeah.
But at the same time while we've beheld all this wickedness, and let me say this. Whenever I think about what they're doing down there at the border, they're allowing all these people to come in and invade our country. That upsets me.
Yeah.
Amen? Does it upset you?
Yeah.
It upsets me. Whenever I think about all the abortions and the murder that they're committing on these babies, and if for those of you that don't know, I'm not trying to upset you this morning, but I'm just going to fill you in just in case you don't know, because you won't see this on the news, but this is facts you can look up for yourself. When they perform an abortion, they go in there and they tear that child apart limb from limb. That is how it is performed while the child is yet living. It is tore apart in the place where it ought to be the safest it could be. That is wickedness beyond wickedness. And it upsets me. It makes me mad. When I think about what they're doing in Hollywood, how they're trying to constantly deceive these youngins, what they're doing in Nashville, Tennessee, and what they're doing in all the different places where they're producing music and television, and they're constantly trying to push certain agendas, and they're constantly trying to brainwash these children. I've got enemies in Hollywood. I've got enemies in Washington where these bunch of crooked politicians are. I got enemies in Raleigh where these bunch of crooked politicians are. I got enemies in the public schools where they're trying to brainwash my children. I've got enemies up here in Morphin at this Moondog Pizza where they want to have transgender nights, where they have drag queen shows and everything else. Hey, it does. It goes on. Hey, I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about in Burke County. They got drag shows at that place. They got drag shows going on at Applebee's now over in Morgan and everything else. Hey, I'll tell you, before you know it, they're going to have them reading stories to your kids and your elementary school. Hey, you can bank on it. It's coming. It's already happening in other places, and it'll be here soon. And you know what it makes me say? Well, that makes me think, well, I will stand up against it. Amen?
Yeah.
It upsets me.
Yeah.
I like to think, well, if I had the opportunity, I'd like to cut a few heads off. Amen? Sometimes God wants you to cut a head off. He did David, didn't he?
Yeah.
He cut the giant's head off. He took the stone. He slew the giant. And he's a boy. And there's up there on the hill. They couldn't see what's going on. It's down in the valley. There's people around. And so David goes and he takes the giant's sword, because he don't got one himself. And he cuts the giant's head off. And he holds Goliath's head up. He shakes it. He says, look what I've done. Look what God's done. Sometimes God wants you to cut a head off. I'm not saying God wants me to cut a head off, or he wants you to cut a head off. I'm just saying sometimes God wants you to cut a head off. That's a fact. That's Bible.
Yeah.
I can say that. Amen.
Yeah.
I wish God would call me to cut some heads off. But he hadn't yet. But I know this. He's called me to love.
Yeah.
He's called me to love my neighbor even as I love myself.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, the Bible says, ye have heard it, Jesus said, ye have heard it, it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies.
Yeah.
Bless them that curse you, do good to them which hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Yeah.
That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and the sun to rise, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even publicans do the same? Or do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He declares being perfect as being the one who can love their enemy.
Yeah.
He says, if you want to be perfect in your walk with Christ, love your enemies. Matthew chapter 22 is asked the question to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? What is the greatest of all the commandments is asked of Jesus. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. The second one is just as important and means just as much as the first commandment. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
He said, every prophecy that's ever been given, he said, every commit of the law that's ever been given, everything that God's ever told you to do or not to do, hangs on this fact,
yeah,
to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
He says this, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you,
yeah,
that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. He says, men will know that you follow me because of what? They say, because of the way you dress. They'll see the way you dress, they'll say, well, that's right. Some folks might say that. People, you hear that preached, though, don't you? Sometimes. But they say, well, they're going to this church, they must be a Christian, or they're doing this or that. He said, by your love.
Yeah.
By your love, they'll know that you're my disciples. That means that you follow me. He says this, he says, in this also, he says, love one another as I have loved you. The Bible says that it's not that we first loved him, but he first loved us.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we were in enmity with God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us and died for us. We might have enemies, but we're called to love him. John chapter 15, verse 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified. What glorifies God? You say, I want to glorify God in my life. Do you really want to glorify God? This is what glorifies God. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Yeah.
He said, as God loved me, that's how much I've loved you. You continue in my love. He said, you need to love others the same way that God loves his own son.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm. He said, there is God glorified.
Amen.
He says, as the Father loved me, so I'm going to continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want to be what makes you happy? What really gives you true joy? To love others.
Yeah.
To love your enemies, just as God commanded. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Think about that, how Christ has loved you.
Yeah.
And me. Were you worthy of his love? I wasn't. I still ain't.
Right.
I still ain't done a thing to deserve God's love.
Hey.
Matter of fact, I've done everything that might be possible by a man to do to diminish that.
Yeah.
But yet it remains undiminished.
Hey.
It remains full. And in its full capacity, more than I could ever love anybody, that's the way that he's loved me.
Yeah.
It has mercy and grace. up ways to get AK-47s into the White House. I'm just saying. We do that, don't we? How many of you here just love to get a chance to just end all this wickedness and ungodliness? Just put a stop to it. Don't lie and dream about it. Even you good-natured, sweet little mamas and grandmas probably have a 12-gauge heading off somewhere to take care of the protecting grandbabies. They in the school to try to teach them little grandbabies, little boys to be little girls, little girls to be little boys. I know it upsets you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What is the fulfillment of the law? To love one another.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. This is the Bible.
Yeah.
I read to you, we're talking about love.
Yeah.
He says, for this shall thou not, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yeah.
You say, I want to keep God's commandments. I want to keep the law. I want to do what honors God. Love one another. Love unity. Second Corinthians chapter 8 verse 8 says, I speak not by commandment but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He's commanding them, this is what you should do. You should prove the sincerity of your love.
Yes.
Meaning that your love is not just something you say in words. The Bible says it's known in truth and in deed.
Yeah.
Don't just speak of love. Wherefore show you to them, and this is 2 Corinthians 8:24. Wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and hereby do we know that we know him. You say, how do I know that I know God? How can I know that I'm a Christian? You ever worry about that? You ever worry about, well, am I truly saved? Do I truly know the Lord? Whenever the rapture happens and the trumpet sounds, am I going? Whenever I die and I leave this world, is my spirit going to be with him forevermore? To close my eyes in death is to be with him forever? You ever worry about that? The Bible says this, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. You say, well, preacher, you say that we are to be without sin, and no. He says, what did we just go through? All the laws are filled in one. Love. He says, you want to keep his commandments? He said, this is the sum of the whole, all of the commandments, is to love one another.
Yeah.
To love your neighbor even as you love yourself. Yeah. And he goes on to say this. He says, that we ought to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write of you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. You will know that you're in Christ. Love one another. You say, well, preacher, let me tell you, you can be saved, you can be in Christ, and still struggle with the fact to love your enemy's eye. I know I'm saved because I didn't do it, God done it. I've seen the evidence in my life. I have struggled with that before, but I don't. I hadn't in a long time. I thank God for that.
But I know this, I struggle to love others. It is.
Yeah.
It's a struggle for me. It'll be a struggle for me in the morning on the way to work when somebody gets behind me right by me. I got me, this I'm gonna chase this rabbit for a second. This has got nothing to do with nothing. I just gotta share this. This is convention time, by the way. I got me a little mail light for that CRV I got up in the little mail out of. It's like one of them LED light bars, but it flashes. And it's got orange and white flashing lights, and it's bright. And, you know, at nighttime, that thing's blind. I can turn that thing on, when it's early in the morning, I'm going to leave and go to work at like, you know, anywhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. And on the way to work, I can be going down the road, I can like spotlight the fields legally, you know. Like I can see the flashing, you know, what's around me. But that thing is so bright, you know, there's no need for me to run it on the way to work. You know, there's no need for me to do it just while I'm on the mail route. But I've learned that if I run it on the way to work, people don't get on your hind end. They stay back. So my recommendation to you is if you're a psychopath who has road rage, like I am, get you a flashlight for $86 a minute. That sounds kind of expensive, but it's well worth it for your sanity. But in the morning, I would probably struggle to love somebody that in my mind at the time, I feel like doesn't deserve it. I'm saying that's about how far I can make it. I hope I can make it for the rest of the day. Honey, you try to help me through this. I'll give you permission to remind me of this later for whatever reason you may need to. But I hope that at least the rest of this day that I have the conviction strong enough to just love people that don't deserve it. Because I'm reminded that I didn't deserve it.
Right. Amen.
And that He loved me.
Yeah.
Bible says that love glorifies God.
Yeah.
Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is what makes us be reminded that we are in Him and gives us no reason for doubt. Love is the thing that people know that we belong to God, that we follow God. It's by our love. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. That's what love does. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 24, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Yeah.
That means it'll grow to the point where that it's so weakened and so become so indifferent that we're not recognized for love anymore.
Yeah.
You know what the world needs right now? They need the love of God.
Amen.
You know what I needed when I was lost? I needed the love of God. Hey, I want to tell you, if you love your neighbor, you'll stand for righteousness.
Yeah.
Not so that you can hurt them, but so that they might see that they're lost.
Yeah.
Stand for truth. Stand for justice. Stand for the Word of God. Be unashamed to stand for what's right and stand firm on it. But at the same time, love them. Bible says, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 11, I'm almost done. It says in verse number 37, as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. The Lord said to him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says, be careful just making sure you look like a Christian.
Yeah.
Without having the love of God in your heart. He says, you can be paying your tithes, you can be dressing right, you can be talking right, you can be at church every Sunday. But if you're failing to love your neighbor, he says you're failing. Period. We're called to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. We're called to love our enemies specifically. Just as Christ loved us while we were His enemies. This is something I have to pray for myself often. It's not, God, help my enemies, because I wouldn't be praying sincerely often. But most often my prayer is this, God, help me to love my enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
That's the most biblical thing you could do. That is the most Christian thing that you can do. If somebody said, what if you used to ask yourself, what's the most Christian thing that I can do? What one thing could I do that would make God the happiest with me? Just to love your enemies.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible teaches. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Do you need help with that this morning? To love your enemies? Is that something you can handle on your own? Does that come easy for you? Just simply have a true love and sincerity towards those that you despise. Hey, the Bible says that it's okay to be angry. The reasons that I'm angry with a lot of the enemies I claim to have is they're good reasons. I mean, not from, you know, road rage and silly stuff like that. Crooked politicians, production companies, different kinds of large businesses and public school educators and different things where they're trying to deceive children and murder the babies and all that. I've got good reasons to be mad. The Bible says be angry and sin not. It's not the fact that I'm angry that's wrong with God. It's the fact of what I would like to do with my anger rather than have mercy. Folks, this world today needs to see, a Christian church needs to see a body of believers that love them regardless of an unconditional love. Would you come this morning and pray that prayer? It's not when you repeat after me. We don't do that. If the Lord spoke to your heart and told you and reminded you that you need to have love in your heart for your enemies, would you come? It's a sad affair today to see the Christians that walk around with bitterness in their heart towards family, towards friends, and towards enemies. We need to love them. As I pray, the Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Why don't you come? Father, we thank you for your word and its power over our lives. Thank you for convicting us, Lord, of sin and sinful natures and behaviors. Have mercy on me, God. Lord, where that I failed you so miserably in loving my neighbor, loving, Lord, my enemies, I pray, God, that you continue to grow the love in my heart for them. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities and times I've got to witness to them. Lord, that I've got to pray for them in sincerity. Lord, I pray that there'd be no root of bitterness spring up in me, that take hold and take root in my life, that hinder me from walking in love just as you walk with me. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to love them the same way. But Lord, that I stand for truth. Lord, that I be unashamed, Lord, to proclaim the word of God, no matter where I go or who I'm in front of, that it glorifies you. We thank you for loving us and being good to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, and pray, Lord, that you'd help it. Be sown in our hearts this morning, God, that we'd be remained with conviction and encouragement, Lord, that we continue to strive to be that which you have us to be, that we'd love one another, that we'd love our enemies, even as we love our own selves. God, that we'd do it all for your glory, for your honor, for your worth. Lord, may the name of your Son, Jesus, be exalted in our lives every day. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Be back at 5 o'clock for the foundation study. We'll eat something.
We can have hamburgers and hot dogs. And I'll do the grilling if I need to grill.
All right. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, you're clear to go.